News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Love to hear from you this morning, 251-343-0106. That's also our text line, which is heating up here a little bit. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Looks like it's going to be a really nice day today, followed by what more than likely is going to be a stormy one tomorrow. And then I think the rest of the week balances out pretty well. So there's kind of a recap of what's going on. Now, Friday afternoon, let's see here. I made my way back here to the studios, to the radio station. It might have been around 2:30. And you could hear wailing signs of cop cars or ambulances or something going on. And then two of the people that work with us were aware of what had just gone on. One FM Talk 106.5 employee had just been at Cottage Hill and Azalea, or near it, where two people were killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
With a gunshot, gun blast, plural, from another car to car, which is, you know, obviously very concerning for residents of Mobile. And then another one happened to be in the Loop area, and she saw what was going on there with a car being chased by police back east from the Mudbugs area back toward downtown, and said it was just crazy. So I guess my point is this. You have two people in one place of employment. We don't have a large team here. This is how frightening it is. These things are going on right at intersections and at corners where anybody and everybody could be at any given time.
Well, yeah, it's where it is.
And they were, which is just crazy.
And it's the time that it happened, you know.
Middle of the day.
1:30 Friday afternoon is when the shooting at Cottage Hill and Azalea began. And that's that intersection, I roll through it at least once a day. And I know a lot of people, hundreds and hundreds of people do the same as I. And 1:30 on Friday, you know, that's traditionally right around 30 minutes before folks go to pick their kids up from school.
Mm-hmm.
You had Fondy Elementary that's literally right there where the shooting happened.
It's at that corner.
Thankfully,
yeah.
They had like a digital day on Friday, so there were supposed to be no kids there. And then you also, so 1:30, you have Cottage Hill Christian, which is probably another mile and a half down the road, but plenty of neighborhoods between there and plenty of innocent people on the roads. And it seems like, you know, there's a lot of shootings that and bad business that goes on Azalea, between Cottage Hill and Airport.
Didn't used to be that way.
Remember, they shut down that gas station that's right there in between the two.
Yeah.
That's right by the high school because of the constant violence that was happening there. So,
remember, you had a statistic about phone calls, like 911 calls coming from that gas station?
Yeah, I can't remember how many.
You couldn't believe the number.
Yeah.
It's like you were told the number. You said, that can't be right.
Yeah,
and yet it was right.
It was right. And we've seen it spread from there and from who knows where else. Remember just a few months ago, now this was in, this was more towards darkness, more towards the evening hours, when a man, a woman, and two children were either going to or coming from getting ice cream and turning from that same intersection left on Cottage Hill and heading east. And they said they got shot up by somebody. And it's a miracle that the dad survived there, because he was hit by multiple bullets, and it kept him in the hospital for a long time. They said they didn't know who that was or why that happened, but that's the main theme here. And as we kind of break down how these shootings happened Friday, and we'd love to hear from you. We've already got plenty of texts we'll go through here in just a few minutes at 251-343-0106. But almost every shooting, it seems, when police talk with the media, unknown. Let's just go through the three shootings that happened other than those two we mentioned. Assault on Friday, 2:13 p.m., Farnell and Johnston Avenue. An unknown male subject shot the victim while he was standing outside of a residence. March 18th, Friday, 3:15 p.m., police officers respond to Heritage Road North for one shot. Victim was sitting in his vehicle when an unknown subject, an unknown vehicle, opened fire. Friday, 1:36 p.m., robbery and assault. Officers discovered an unknown subject approached the victim while walking near Calhoun Street. Victim suffered gunshot wounds. So it's impossible that all of these are unknown to everyone.
It's very probable that they're actually the opposite. They know exactly who did it. They give no description to police. They give no name. And these are citizens of the city of Mobile that know each other. My best guess. As a matter of fact, we've heard the police say that. You know, they're taking out their grievances that they've got on each other, mm-hmm. and they keep it from becoming a police matter by not giving any information.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, I would prefer we took all of the violent criminals off the street and kept them off the street. That's a major issue. We've heard Mayor Stimson say that the courts keep letting them out, and we have plenty of violent people who have been accused of murder still walking out there among us. And, you know, I'd be fine if these bad guys settled these duels in some, you know, place where no one else could possibly get shot. But when they're settling these things at 1:30 on a Friday afternoon at Cottage Hill and Azalea, then, you know, it's way past time to rein this in and figure out how to stop this. And I know the administration's doing what they can. But let's talk about these two shootings, because I know that Chief Paul Prine, he says that these were unrelated. The shootout that happened after the drive-by on Cottage Hill and Azalea. So you had three people in total killed Friday afternoon within basically an hour.
One might have been self-inflicted.
One may have been self-inflicted. That's right. So Chief Prine spoke Friday afternoon. He said two people were killed in a suspected drive-by shooting. This was at Cottage Hill and Azalea. Apparently, they were in the southbound lanes of Azalea, and I would think that they were waiting to cross Cottage Hill when this began, because the victim of the vehicle of the deceased victims had at that point gone over Cottage Hill towards Government and wrecked in that parking lot of the gas station that's there at that intersection.
Okay.
So the shooting began in the southbound lanes of Azalea at Cottage Hill. One witness said that a gold Camry, keep that car color in mind there, a gold Camry pulled up beside a white sedan and numerous gunshots rang out. The person who saw that said he, you know, stepped on the gas immediately to get out of the way, and who wouldn't have? Another eyewitness said the Camry continued on Cottage Hill headed east towards Bel Air Mall. So remember, they're heading east. They're headed towards downtown, basically, that direction. Well, then right around 2 p.m., police officers responded to a report of a reckless driver near St. Joseph Street. Officers initiated a chase. The motorist fled towards DIP, Dauphin Island Parkway. The subject got out of his vehicle at DIP and Government and began shooting at police, who returned fire. The suspect reportedly returned to his vehicle and drove eastbound down Government Street, where he again opened fire at officers. The driver wrecked outside the school, and officers arrived at the scene there. Here is Chief Paul Prine from Friday describing exactly the end of that little chase there.
The driver of that vehicle ended up here at Government in Chatham, where he wrecked out. When the officers got up to the vehicle, he had apparently a gunshot wound to the head. So we are investigating that to find out if it was self-inflicted or not.
So there were eyewitnesses there as well. Jacob Green lives two homes down from the school. Again, this the first shooting happened right outside of a school, Fondy Elementary. The second shooting ended outside of the Alabama Institute for the Deaf and Blind. And Jacob Green lives two homes down from there. He spoke with Fox 10's Shelby Myers. And he also spoke with Lanyap, where he said he had video of a man being removed from a gold sedan in a body bag.
Mm. Gold sedan again.
Exactly. And here's what Jacob Green had to say. He did say police asked the person in the vehicle to show their hands, you know, all the same things that police say when they're coming up on a scene after a shootout. And he said police opened fire, but here's what else he said.
After they fired those rounds, you could just see the cops disperse. You could tell the tension had just eased because they must have neutralized the situation. Then the fire trucks and ambulances showed up, and they carried away someone in a body bag.
And then he continued here.
I don't know what really happened, you know, but at the end of the day, like I said, it's a sad thing to see it in your backyard.
And he's literally talking about his backyard there, but I think Mobilians all feel the same way. It's so sad to see this happening and where it's happening as well. And more than sad, I'm enraged by this, honestly.
Of course, of course. And so, you know, it seems to be a cultural thing where it's now okay to settle your problems in that way. And, you know, the criminals probably are not listening to me right now. I'm not going to have any effect on that. But what is the answer? And communities have got to take some sort of stand on their own but can they? If all the bad guys have got these stolen guns, you know, I don't think we got a text about the
pistol permit.
Pistol permit. Does that really play into this? I don't know.
Yeah, so we have a bunch of texts, and we'll get to a lot more after the break, but the text that Dan referenced there from Oz, who said, now that the pistol permit requirement is soon gone, the killing has just begun. Oz said, I predict 500 deaths and assaults the first year, now that every, quote, badass and wannabe badass will have a gun. He said, great tool for cops, wisped away. I disagree with Oz's take, but what about you? How do you feel on the text line there? 251-343-0106. We'll get into a lot more of these texts and also the phones, if you call that same number when we get back from the break.
And culturally, again, you know, you can't run from the fact that it appears to be young black-on-black crime. And you've got young, mostly men, but women too now. Not all of them, but you can't run from what the facts are. And even former Chief Batiste talked about that culturally. It is an issue. It is a problem, and it's getting. I'll say this: if I knew this kind of crime was happening in the city of Mobile when I moved here, I would have thought twice about bringing a young family here. Absolutely.
A lot of people are thinking twice and then moving on the other side of the bay, you know, it's where we had more crime over the weekend.
Exactly.
But I do also want to say, Chief Paul Prine, he was put in at a terrible time after that shooting at Ladd People Stadium, and he had that news conference Friday evening, but as far as the media on the scene, I haven't seen any reports of race, size, gender,
name.
There have been no names released, as far as I can tell, from any of these shootings over the weekend. I haven't seen a single name, and we're 3 days past that now. And even with police on the scene at that vigil last night,
incredible,
which we didn't get into there. They had a vigil for the two that were killed at Cottage Hill and Azalea. Started at 6 o'clock last night. An hour and a half later, more gunshots rang out. Police were already in the area. And so they got to the scene quickly, where subjects were still shooting, according to KRG. Prine said one police officer returned gunfire. It was a large scene. Police would be there for some time until it could be cleaned up. Multiple people were detained. No reports of injuries. And Prine said many guns were confiscated at the scene. So are cameras at intersections the answer when you have police on the scene? And a shooting happens
still
anyway.
Still doesn't deter it. So I don't think it's so brazen, and it so seemed to be baked into some sort of a amped up culture. I'm sure law enforcement, they're not sure what to do. Do you have an answer? Text line 251-343-0106. Or, hey, and if you think I'm wrong on anything, feel free to let me know. 251-343-0106. You can also call that line. That'll be fine. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton. And we'll get to the text line next.
Yeah, we sure will. Plus, Jeff Poore has a huge show on the way. I'll tell you who his great guests are coming up.
Favorites. Yeah. Dan and Dalton, right here. Yeah. FM Talk 106.5, 825, Mobile Mornings.
Hey!
What's going on?
Discussing the violent day in Mobile on Friday, and Tony and Robertsdale mentioning what happened there as well. So it wasn't just on one side of the bay over the weekend. In Robertsdale, you had people meeting up to buy a cell phone, and then that ended in a police chase and one guy getting away, and they finally arrested him yesterday.
Three arrests and all, right?
Yeah, Tony said it all started over his cell phone. Met these three guys at the middle school in Robertsdale. They ended up robbing him. So that did happen on the other side of the bay, but most of the comments right now are regarding what's happening here in Mobile. John asks, are any of these incidents random? Well, I mean, according to almost every single victim, yes, but it seems impossible.
A little bit of a cover-up going on.
A little bit of a cover-up. And I think Maximus mentions that here. He said 26 years and can count on one hand the number of times a witness came forward. So I don't know if it's necessarily a new thing to, the stitches get stitches thing. I don't think that's new, but for the longest time, I mean, guns were used to settle beefs, but not at the rate we're seeing them now.
No,
right?
And
we even heard former Chief Batiste say that it seems like guys are, or maybe it was Prine when he was in here with Sean, that this generation is like more sensitive than past generations. So it's almost like you have a mixture of the snowflakes, but snowflakes that are carrying guns. Mm. They can't take a little ribbing or something going on, and I don't know.
And also it could be criminal business could be happening too. I used to see those incidents in Alabama Village where like you said, nothing was really going on, and yet it ended up in gunfire. Like you were talking about being sensitive to being, but there were also a lot of incidents where it was happening because of illegal activities, stolen property, stuff like that.
This texter says, absolutely spot on, Dan. The cultural issue must be addressed from the community in which this violence stems. But those leaders only seem to stand up when out-of-town money is dangled in front of them, like a carrot for political and virtue signaling. It really makes you matter if Black Lives Matter, which ones? That's the texture here. The media certainly seems to see a difference and shows so in their reporting or lack of. Amazing show. Thank you for bringing awareness. Yeah, it's
Black lives. Black young black men need to let us know that Black Lives Matter, because the behavior that we're seeing on the streets,
it doesn't.
Right. There's a lack of regard. There's a lack of regard for life. Does it matter or does it not?
And, you know, with all of this happening on Friday, I told you already, there's no mention of race or anything. So for all we know from what's been reported, could have been, 15 Ukrainians that got into gunfights over the weekend. Who knows? Because it's not being reported. John said some of this is happening in Baldwin County. Yep, you're right. Tony Ann asks if it's gang related. Now, there have been some interesting comments from Batiste in the past where he says it's not necessarily, or at least he said once, it's not like Bloods and Crips and like you got these MS-13 guys over here and the Crips over here. It's more like localized, like smaller chapters,
neighborhood. People have been displaced from one neighborhood to another. They weren't originally from that neighborhood. You've had housing projects that have closed down. Same thing happened in Chicago. They closed down one of the biggest housing projects and dispersed renters all over the city. And suddenly there was territorial fights going on. I think that's some of what we got happening right now as well. You tell me. Look, use the text line, call in a little bit. We're going to have a guest from the University of Mobile on the way. Going to shift gears here a little bit.
Oh, he's going to love that.
Yeah.
Coming on after this. G-Man says, you do not get to have the luxury of sensitive feelings when you carry. These kids need to be taught this. Do you actually think, G-Man, that a class for lawful carrying of weapons would change things right now for these guys?
How about D-Man? How about me? No. 830 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. Good morning.
835 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. A beautiful Saturday and Sunday, and I'm sure it was beautiful out at McConnell. What you got looking ahead at the rest of this week? What's going on there?
Oh, we're going to try to sell a few cars here. It's beautiful. It's going to be beautiful today, man. We got the car wash. It's almost ready to go. We got a lot of stuff going on around here at McConnell Buick GMC. I mean, we got great deals on GM certified. You can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Remember, that gives you an extra 12-12 on that factory warranty, plus bumps that powertrain up to 100,000 miles. So it's a great deal on those. We got a bunch of other vehicles sitting here. Like I said, you can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got some Mercedes, some Audis, Toyotas, got some Hyundais here. It's just got 4Runners. And don't forget about the new car side. You know, we're going to have sold a couple of trucks the other day and go trade in a couple of 18-4s. So we're going to have those online here shortly. So come by and check us out or check check us out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, you laid out a heck of a selection there for us, Louie. Plenty of rides on the lot, and the website's great. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:37. In a few weeks, we've got a golf tournament coming up with the University of Mobile, our friends out there, and Caleb Kroom is the director of annual giving. I think he's kind of directing this whole golf tournament. Caleb, good morning from Dan and Dalton.
Good morning. Thanks a lot for having me.
Glad to have you on. So,
Caleb, people around here don't like playing golf, do they? Especially when you have weather like we've had this last weekend.
Yeah, no, it's not hard to convince people to get out to the golf course, especially down here.
Yeah, so we've got an event coming up for the school, University of Mobile. Talk about it a little bit, the way it's all going to be set up and how folks can get involved. I've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's our 24th annual University of Mobile Alumni and Friends Golf Classic. It's going to be on Friday, April 8th at Heron Lakes Country Club. And our check-in is going to be from 7:30 to 8:30. We're going to have Chick-fil-A going to be providing breakfast for us. And then we're going to have the shotgun start at 8:30. And it's a four-person scramble format. So it's going to be teams of four. And it's $125 per player. And then $100 for an alumni player. So a little bit of a discount for the alumni.
Sounds good. It is a scramble, which means that for instance, my awful play could be hidden down within the scorecard somehow.
But your personality, right, plus on the team.
Everybody wants me on their team.
Right.
But I can't be there because I'm going to be doing a radio show. I can't leave Dalton alone. It's too much for him.
It's a two-team scramble here.
Now, we scrambled last segment. So let's talk about this a little bit. There's a number of ways that you can get involved, including just going online. You can register there, correct?
Yes, you can register online. It's umobile.edu/mobileclassic. So you can register yourself. If you don't have a team, we can put you on a team. If you have just half of a team, we can fill the team for you. Or you can register a full team, and there's also sponsorship opportunities as well.
If they've got sponsorship opportunities there's a phone right there in the office of development that they can call, correct?
Yeah, there'll be a phone number on the website. Again, that's umobile.edu/mobileclassic. But yeah, you can find my information there, so you can contact me.
Sounds good. And real quickly, for the calendar of the year, University of Mobile will have a number of fundraisers, but this one is a pretty crucial one, correct?
Yeah, this is one of our bigger events of the year, and all the money we raise will go to support student scholarships and lighten that financial burden for our students and give more students an opportunity to attend the University of Mobile.
Well, we'll keep on getting the word out there, my man, and good luck with the event. And if there's anything else we need to know, feel free to reach out.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it again for having me.
You got it. Caleb Kroom is with the University of Mobile, the Director of Annual Giving. He's over this golf tournament, which I am very hopeful. You're right, we've had some brilliant weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally you got the stormy day like Friday, like tomorrow, but it's been all in between these beautiful days. So by April the 8th, I think we could be in good shape, maybe sunshine and maybe warm temperatures.
That's the hope. Have a nice day out there on the links at Heron Lakes, and that ought to be a fun time too. I know they have like the longest drive contest and closest to the hole, same you see with so many tournaments, but that ought to be a good time.
If you ever get a little tired of what, you know, the news, the gun play and all that kind of stuff, which is not play at all, but if you ever go out to the University of Mobile, which I know you're familiar with, it's like an oasis.
Yes.
It's like you go out there and it's like, birds are chirping.
As soon as
nature is all around you. People are all in good moods. They're all nice folks. It's a very Christian, Christ-based university. And so the people show it with their attitude. The people that work there, the people that teach there. Look, if you want to get a break from everything we've been talking about this morning,
yeah,
visit the University of Mobile. It is our one oasis for sure.
It's very nice. My wife spent some time there before she transferred to South.
Okay.
So what we were talking about in the first half of the hour, this violence in Mobile, which seems to be increasing and turning to much more populated areas where we weren't used to seeing some of this. We've been getting a lot of texts. One of those early on was about the repeal of the concealed carry permits, which, you know, it passed in the legislature a couple weeks ago. Governor Kay Ivey signed the signed it into law. So coming up January 1st of next year, you no longer need a concealed carry permit. And Oz earlier was saying now that that permit will soon be gone, he thinks that shootings, assaults, killings will rise and rise quickly. And we've had some comments since then. Another texter said the pistol permit is not the issue. I remember some psych research that said severity of punishment is not the best deterrent for crime, but certainty of punishment is. With the gross overreaction to COVID, with the courts being shut down and trials reduced to a trickle, certainty of punishment is largely gone. Travis says these nonviolent drug offenders that they keep letting out of jail. That's the problem, right? It seems like there's not one answer for why it seems that deadly gun violence has increased the way it has over the last 2 years.
There's not one answer. There's not one factor. There's all kinds of stuff going on here.
But I think two things have played a major role in what we've been seeing, and I'm very confident in that first point, which is what Mayor Stimson said, which is that so many people who've been accused or who were awaiting trial on other murder charges were let out because of COVID. You also have sentencing is getting lighter and lighter, and you would think that wouldn't happen here in Deep Red, Alabama, but it is. These prosecutors and judges just are taking it lighter on the criminals. Now, whether that's because of personal politics that they have, or whether it's just the movement of the courts around America that they're just putting lighter and lighter punishments on violent criminals, I don't know. But you also had last year somebody who's been described as a drug kingpin arrested and taken off the streets, and his Southall, right? Darren mm-hmm. Southall.
Yeah, it's amazing how many crimes he or his group or team ended up being linked to.
So, and I have no actual, you know, insider knowledge or anything like that, but you wonder when someone like that is taken off the streets, there will be somebody and somebodies to try to take that spot, mm-hmm. right? And you wonder how much of this crime is linked to that. But it's not so much the what or why as the where and how it's happening. And it's happening in public places where children and innocent people can get shot.
I would, you know, that's my fear. And I think it's very legitimate fear. There's going to be an innocent life lost at some point. And there is going to be somebody that you and I know of that is going to be killed at some point. If this violence, if this rate of violence continues in very populated areas, intersections, so forth and so on, there's going to be an innocent life taken from us. And you know, but we can be outraged. We can be enraged. But what do we do about it?
Right.
Well, and I don't know.
It's a miracle that more innocents haven't been killed.
Agree.
Think about that stretch last year where how many children under five were injured in shootings like back to back to back?
Yeah,
it was a 2 week span.
Yes.
And four or five children were injured in shootings, innocent children. It is a miracle that more innocent people haven't been killed.
Yeah, the young boy right off of Sean knows him from the Scouts. He's right off of Sage Avenue, somewhere around there. He lived near St. Pius. He was in his house, and he was shot.
Playing video games,
yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible, mm-hmm. and it's we're facing it. We're seeing it. It's all around us. The police, the law enforcement, city officials, they're obviously aware of it. What exactly are the steps? One step that's going on is tonight. You've got the police
roadblocks.
Checkpoints, roadblocks, yeah. And that's tonight.
Yeah, right? And one of those happening just down the street from that shooting at Cottage Hill and Azalea. It'll be at Azalea and Pleasant Valley, one of those roadblocks tonight. Don, on the text line, taking the opposite approach of the constitutional carry argument. He said, my hope about constitutional carry is that it will deter seasoned and young wannabe criminals from armed robberies and carjackings, knowing that law-abiding citizens will have their means to protect ourselves, and that he predicts pistol permits will go up as a result. I don't think very many you know, of these gangsters and wannabe shooters are paying attention to what's passing or not passing in the legislature. I think their operation is depending on what they see happening to the people around them who have been involved in shootings.
Right.
If they're getting light sentences or not even getting caught, then that leads to their friends and family believing that they can also shoot at people and not get caught or just do light time. It's about punishment. And this big liberal movement to go easy on people because it's not fair is, and the defund the police movement is the entire reason why this is ticked up.
Yeah, there's an attitude that's changed. There is a there's just this whole don't snitch on me, I won't snitch on you. We're gonna settle it like men. I guess that's what, you know, young people think that's the way to go. I'm going to be a tough guy and I'm going to take you out. You know, and speaking of innocent lives, we did have an innocent life taken away a couple of years ago, 3 years ago or so. Young student at McGill Tulane was at a party out on Halls Mill Road.
Yep.
And, you know, I should probably take into account there have been innocent lives lost.
Yeah.
I just think there's going to be, we're just asking for it with this current behavior on the streets, not just Mobile, but really anywhere and everywhere. Must be really escalating in some of the bigger cities. 848 FM Talk 106.5. We'll look at Jeff Poore's lineup and look over the text line as well. On the way on FM Talk 106.5, and certainly your phone calls are welcome at 251-343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Getting to more of your texts here in just a minute at 251-343-0106. If you were looking over my shoulder right now, I'm on a website, right2workusa.com. That's right, the number 2workusa.com. And whether you're a wannabe employee or want to move on to a better job and you're looking to find those jobs, or if you're an employer who's looking to hire your next great employee, both can get that done at righttoworkusa.com. I love the simplicity here. So their front page isn't just completely covered with a bunch of links going here and there. They make it easy. At the very top of the page, you can search jobs by using the job title or keyword and then the city and state, and they'll all show up for you there. And then just under that, they have two tabs. It says Getting Started for Job Seekers, and you can click Upload Your Resume Here, or for Employers, Post a Job Here. So if you're an employer or you're seeking a job, why not go to righttoworkusa.com and let them help you figure it out. If you're an employer looking for your next great hire, righttoworkusa.com, with just the click of a button, will send your open job positions to the thousands of applicants across their network. And their search engine is so easy and so powerful, and it makes it easy for employers to find you via the impressive search tools like regional, local, and map view. You can also search by category, job type, and experience. And by the way, Right to Work USA is a local company. Their home office is located right here in Mobile, even though they provide jobs throughout the United States. So if you're looking for your next great employee and you want to hire someone, or if you're an employee who wants to go work for someone, check it out today, right2workusa.com. That's right, the number 2WorkUSA.
854, got a text from Jim Cox about the Wharf boat and yacht show over the weekend. I was there on Saturday.
How many did you end up buying? Did you settle with the one you had your eye on?
Yeah, I went with the 52-footer, but Coxie tells me that they don't have all the numbers in yet, but it appears to be record crowds.
Wow.
I think everybody was so ready, right? So ready to get out. With everything going on right now, somehow we have, in a way, forgotten about all this. Remember COVID?
What's that?
And all the restrictions and all the canceled events and all that. And so probably a big crowd, I would think, in Fairhope as well with the Arts and Crafts Festival. But Jim said record crowds over the weekend down at the Wharf.
Thanks for that reminder about COVID. That reminds me of something I have to tell you about here in just a minute. First, let me tell you, the Jeff Poore Show today should be a great one.
Humdinger.
We've been talking about these gambling bills, the one lottery bill, and also the gambling bill that would do lottery, sports, and casino gaming. Don Siegelman will be on in the first hour with Jeff, former Governor Siegelman. It'll be really interesting to hear his most recent take on all that's going on there. Also in the second hour, Congressman Mo Brooks will join the show.
He's in the news.
He is. And in the third hour, C.J. Pearson, a columnist, will join, and then Dale Jackson from WVNN to be on with Jeff Poor on the Jeff Poor Show. So you mentioned COVID. You know, what happened? Where did it go? Fauci was actually...
What's your theory?
Fauci was actually back on TV over the weekend.
Yeah.
And he said there's a new variant out there. He's not too worried about it, but he said it'll become the Delta. I don't think it's Deltacron, but whatever the subspecies of
Omicron
was, BA.2, he thinks that'll take over, but we won't see it like we saw some of these other surges.
Aren't a lot of us going to be immune to it because we got it or we're vaccinated or both?
I think that's the hope, right?
Omicron spread so widely.
So quickly,
Everybody you knew had it, almost.
And Hong Kong is going through it right now in a big way. It's because they have so many elderly that live there. But the comments I wanted to bring your attention to came on Fox News Sunday yesterday. U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy was on. And get this, he's worried that some viewpoints of regarding COVID-19 are being shut out of the national dialogue.
Oh, wow.
They waited. This administration waited until the pandemic was over to say they're worried that some people's takes on the virus aren't being considered. Like, are you kidding me? I know people, you know.
What are the takes that are not being considered?
Okay, so Murthy said, he referenced how the CDC has altered its guidance despite urging people to follow the science. He noted how if there were dissenting views on the science, you were called names from a lot of media outlets. Murthy said, well, listen, what we have to do in this is understand that, number one, science evolves. We learn new data, and that should inform our response, and that's true with illnesses across the board. But what's also really important is that we have the ability to have respectful, thoughtful dialogue with one another. He said, I worry about the temperature rise in our dialogue, about people being shut out in terms of their points of view being heard. We need to be able to hear all voices. We need to be able to respect one another. This is from the Surgeon General, from the administration, who was, out and out calling for Joe Rogan's podcast to be removed for showing other viewpoints. They wanted nurses who were the heroes a year ago, wanted them completely fired for having any outside the box take on the vaccine or the disease. It's disgusting the way he comes out and says this now.
Well,
now that no one's worried,
sounds like almost like he was shut in this whole time and has no idea what was going on in the real world. Like, this is all news to him. Like, hey, wait a minute now.
Incredible. Unbelievable. Yeah.
It's 8:59 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton and Jeff Poor on the way. We'll be back again tomorrow, 6 a.m. and do it for you all over again on your Tuesday. It could be stormy tomorrow, so be ready for that.